You're listening to the world famous Chick Whisperer podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
Right, here we are, episode number 34 of the Chick Whisperer podcast. Today we're going to talk about something completely different, gentlemen, and I have the perfect guest in the truest sense of the word to discuss this issue with you. What we're going to talk about is something that, in the seduction community at least, angels fear to tread on, and that's marriage. Look, is marriage just for chumps? Is it the deal where you get your balls sawed off and you hand some chick your entire life on a silver platter? All your masculinity gone. You're going to end up like some guy in one of those commercials where he's ending up holding her purse or whatever. What's going to happen when you get married? That's the first question that guys usually ask. Or there's a bunch of guys going, hey, you know what? I don't understand this whole idea of notching the bedpost night after night, just a different girl. You know, what I'd like to have is some consistency around here, someone to build a life with. Well, today I have a guy who is really just a walking dichotomy as far as the seduction community is concerned. His name is Adam Lyons. I'm sure you've heard of him because he's consistently voted in the top three pickup artists in the world, right up there with Mystery and Neil Strauss. And in the latest polls, he's actually way ahead of them. And the guy is married in a monogamous relationship with the greatest woman he's ever met, which puts him in line with everything we've ever talked about around here. So I want to introduce him to you today here on the Chick Whisperer Show. Adam, how's it going, man?
Thank you ever so much for having me on board, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to this conversation. And I'm going to go ahead and ask the obvious question first. And I'm not sure I've ever heard you answer this before. How can you be a married guy and be the world's greatest pickup artist at the same time?
Well, this was actually something that I was really concerned about. Not in any kind of way from a personal point of view, but from a business point of view. I knew that I wanted to get married, and I knew that there was nothing that was going to stop me doing that. I'm madly in love with my wife, and I decided that. But I was concerned as to what was going to happen with regards to how the community or the seduction community would view me. My wedding happened about 3 months before they do the final voting at the World Pickup Artist Summit. So I knew that everyone would know in advance of that where I sat, whether I was married. It would all be very public. And so I did wonder whether that would be a positive or a negative impact on the voting. And I was incredibly over the moon and excited and almost sort of like loved the community for the fact that it saw a guy that had been there and done that with regards to picking up chicks, now saw somebody who'd come to a point where he's met somebody and he wants to get married and settle down in a monogamous relationship, and had the wisdom and I suppose the ethics to vote someone like me to be number one. I mean, it's amazing. I'm over the moon. Couldn't have been happier.
So you're still teaching guys how to succeed with women, especially at the pickup stage, and your wife is perfectly okay with it.
Yeah, I'm actually still traveling around. Up until about a week ago, I was doing a boot camp every single weekend. I'd just done a run of a year and a half straight of doing a boot camp every weekend, and I only missed two weekends. One was my honeymoon, and one was a time when I was ill. Beyond that, I've done every single weekend for about a year and a half. I've dropped it back now. I'm only doing them every 2 weeks, just because the Christmas period, and you know, I've actually got my father's coming to live with me for a while, so I'm trying to ease back on doing as many boot camps. But I'm still very much teaching consistently every single day. This is my job, and my wife is 100% not only supportive of what I do, but she helps me teach. She's been teaching with me now for coming up on two years, just over 2 years.
Yeah, that's a very similar arrangement in many ways to what Emily and I have. Obviously, I went and dated as many women as I wanted to help me figure out what it was I actually wanted in a woman. So when the right one showed up, I recognized her. And that kind of takes it from a position of, oh man, I just want to get any girl who will let me have sex with her. And once I get her, I better keep her because I may not get another one. That's the completely opposite mindset. And I think what you're talking about is the same thing. I mean, you're the number one pickup artist on earth. You can have all sorts of women just for the sake of having women, quote unquote. But when it comes to the quality woman, the one you really want, a lot of guys are saying, hey, you know what, that's elusive. She's the one who always seems to get away. Guys call it one-itis or whatever. But, yeah. You know, when you find the right woman, it's not only the woman who's beautiful, but the woman who recognizes what your gifts are, in your case, as one of the top pickup artists. In my case, something rather similar, which is being a dating coach and helping guys, you know, build their expertise with women also. And, man, Adam, how important is it to have a woman who is supportive of your life purpose and who has that kind of heart where she's just not going to be insanely jealous?
For me, I mean, obviously for you as well, it's so important to have a partner who understands what you do and they stand by you in everything, not just in work, but in literally every single aspect and choice. And I'm a pretty crazy guy. Like, I'm very spontaneous. I like to do random things just because, and not everybody is down for that. I am the kind of guy that I will literally very happily wake up one day, decide I want to go on a plane and fly to another country for 5 days, just that morning, on the whim, not even think about it, and, you know, just decide that's what I want to do. And I'm lucky that my wife is the same kind of person. And I suppose it's not even luck. It's a choice. There is no way I could possibly manage a relationship with somebody who wasn't that kind of person. And I did come from an area of massive abundance. I mean, long before I was considered a top pickup artist, back when I was training myself to get my own skill up, I got to a position where I was known in London for the guy that brings the girls to the nightclubs. I had a database of about 4,000 girls that were part of my active social circle. They would hang out with me. They would come to parties with me. They'd come back to my house for the after party afterwards. And, you know, it was pretty shameful, the kind of stuff we were doing. I mean, you know, at one point I had 14 girls. There's video footage of me sleeping with 4 girls at once, which I know is circulated around the internet now. People have seen it. You know, I really did live a very hedonistic lifestyle where I was doing all sorts of crazy things. And it was just as crazy to then have this woman step into it and to make that choice that I would be willing to step aside from that crazy lifestyle of pretty much getting to the position that I wanted to be, where, you know, I always wanted to kind of like be like an English Hugh Hefner, to get from the position where I've got so many women in my life, where I could literally, you know, have sex with 4 girls at once, get them to agree to me videotaping it, for to get into that kind of position and to realize that I actually just wanted to settle down with just one girl. It was a very big decision. It was, you know, something that I didn't think I'd ever come across. I never thought I'd meet a girl that would make me want to just have one. And yet there I did. I met my wife and I realized that it wasn't even because of her. There is no way I would want to have anybody else once I had her. And that, I think, was a shock for a lot of people. I think a lot of people think that, you know, it's the girl that puts the reins on you and she's like, no, you've just got to stay with me. But in reality, I wouldn't want anyone else. I wanted the monogamous relationship. I want to settle down. I want to have kids. It was definitely a big shock and a big life-changing moment for me, but also something that I've walked into with open arms and I've loved every minute of it.
Yeah, I think a lot of times people get into this mindset of, man, I'm not successful with women right now. So the pinnacle would be to go from having no women to having a bunch of women. In other words, all these guys, you know, you're talking about foursomes, I guess fivesomes in your case, and having this abundance of women is the first thing that guys think of as the be-all, end-all of quote-unquote success with women. And you hear a lot of, you know, picking up women at bars, and here's how you go for the low-hanging fruit or the women who are going to be most likely to sleep with you on the first night, et cetera, et cetera. But it's amazing. You're not the first guy I've talked to, Adam, who has gotten to that point and said, you know, I want more, or I want different, or now I've done this, I've lived this, I've been through this. And it always comes back to, you know, after having so many women and exploring this whole lifestyle, I think I want some stability. I think I want something different. And a lot of guys are thinking, yeah, well, McKay, you know, that's nice for you. And, you know, Lions, that's nice for you. But once I get to the point where I'm picking up women right and left, it's never going to stop. I tell you what, guys, I was the same way. After my divorce, I was like, you know, I think I just want to get as many women in my life as possible. I want to sample the redhead one. I want to sample the brunette, the blonde one, all at the same time, you know. And I tell you what, guys, once you get to the point where these answers are yeses for you and you've been able to sample it, it's a lot like eating the same food every day. If you really like sushi, I'm telling you, if you eat sushi breakfast, lunch, and dinner for the next week straight, you'll be ready to not eat sushi for a while. So if you're living a PUA lifestyle and it's incredibly successful, you may still find yourself thinking, you know, I'm ready to go ahead and take this to the next level. And once I meet a woman I can really have a relationship with, I think I'll be ready for it. And Adam, what strikes me about what you're saying is that you made this decision. It wasn't a woman who came along and said, you know, you need to get rid of all these other chicks and it's my way or the highway. You had total control over your dating life. And I sense you still do, because I'm sure your wife says, you know, Adam's selecting me from a position of having many options. Therefore, when he tells me he really cares about me, he must mean it. So the irony is, having had all of those women, and I'm sure your wife had lots of options with guys and probably dated a lot herself. Mm-hmm. When you meet each other and you actually say, I am choosing you, it's not about a power struggle. It's not about somebody winning or losing. It's about y'all saying, finally, here's the person who, no matter how many people I've dated already, supersedes all of them.
Scott, that is exactly how it is. And what's really funny, and I don't know how widely you know this is, when I first met my wife, when we were just dating, she actually said to me, there's no way she's going to enter into a monogamous relationship with me. She's like, because she knows the kind of guy I am. She knew that I was seeing multiple girls. And she actually asked me if we could keep it open. She wanted me to have other girls. She wanted to have other people. She wanted us to just have an open relationship. And, you know, to just continue, you know, I suppose as if she was just another one of the girls that I was hanging out with and I would just be another one of the guys that she was hanging out with. And I was the one, I made that choice. I was like, no, I just want you. I want you to realize that I see this differently. I don't see you the same as the other girls. And I'm not interested in seeing you the same as the other girls. If I just want to have sex with a hot brunette cheerleader, it's not that difficult. What I want is something more than that. And you're somebody that I feel that I can have that with.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about something that on one level seems so far away for a lot of guys to figure out, yet it's really basic to a lot of guys. Unfortunately, we've been kind of taught to believe, you know, all these women trying to wear the pants and rope us into something. We need to fight that. We need to go back and get our rights back as men and retrieve our birthright. And all that's well and good, but it's not against the marriage institution or even monogamy itself. It's against not having choices and not having your own say in the matter. And just having someone literally who's coming at you from a position of desperation for a relationship, similarly, frankly, to how a guy would come at a woman from a desperation for sex, it's the same operative. When we fall for that, that's when we've given up our manhood. That's when we've given up our power. That's when we've lost control. But when the greatest woman walks into our life, Adam, it seems like a lot of guys are saying, oh my gosh, this woman really likes me and I really like her. Maybe we should break up, or else I'm going to get one-itis. And that's just misplaced. It's all about having control, isn't it?
Yeah, no, completely. And being in control is such a good way of describing it. And I think also a lot of people, they have an issue with actually understanding like the definition of one-itis. Like one-itis is fixating on a girl you can't get.
Exactly.
That's what it is. It's not falling in love. They're very different things. There wasn't a doubt over whether I could get my girlfriend or my wife. Like I'd had her already. That wasn't the question. The question was, did I want this girl that I could have and make it into something more? And it was, again, my choice. And that's definitely not one-itis. One-itis would be lusting after a girl that I couldn't get and keep focusing my attention on her when it was obviously a lost cause.
Right. It's such a shame when guys take potentially valid ideas and then generalize them a bit too much. I think negging is another example. I don't think mystery meant the idea of negging to be go insult a bunch of women and have them like you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Read it. And so, you know, one-itis, rather than being, oh my gosh, I'm dreaming about this woman and putting her on a pedestal to the point where there's just no way I'm ever going to feel like I'm in her league. You know, they take that idea and they say, well, anytime you're with one woman, you've got one-itis and you need to get snapped out of it. I think that's a little different. I think for every guy who wants to be Hugh Hefner and wants to live that lifestyle, I think there's probably 40 or 50 guys who just want to have a great woman, have her cook dinner for him at night, have her be feminine, go on trips together and look at the pictures 2 years later. And for God's sake, Adam, like you said, you want to have kids. Guys don't think this through ahead of time when they decide they want to be pickup artists, bar nothing else. You want to have kids and you want to see them and you want to see them all the time, not just on weekends. You want to be actively raising your son or daughter and you want to not have to pay child support. You know, you don't want to just knock women up and have kids. That's not the way to go about it. And that's not your plan either, right?
No, exactly. That's the whole point. This is what amazes me about the pickup community in general. And you know, the thing that kind of saddens me, the way it works is typically you have a lot of guys looking up to these pickup artists and being so impressed by them. These guys can go out and they can pick up these chicks and it's awesome. What they don't see is behind the scenes. And I get a lot of this. I get a random email or a phone call from different people. I had a guy today text me. And this guy, I'm not kidding when I say He's one of probably the 10 most prominent figures in the community ever. He was in the game. He's a very big, well-known PUA. And, you know, we kind of become friends. We've got to a point where we're happy phoning and texting each other every so often. And I get messages from him. And his messages are, hey, Adam, you know, I've seen you've managed to get into a relationship with somebody that you obviously really care about. How do I get there? He's like, I've got no problem picking up random chicks, but whenever I go for the relationship, I lose it. And, you know, and I've actually, there's been 3 different people from the game that have come to me and asked me about that. And to me, that's amazing, because when I read the game, I was like, I thought these guys had it all sorted. But they don't. They're just at the next stage. They're looking for the next thing they're trying to solve. And for them, they want to know, how do they run a monogamous relationship, or at least a relationship with a girl that they really care about as their primary girl, if they are keeping it open? How do they do that? How do they make that one girl okay with it? And it's something that I don't know if I've been lucky enough to piece it together, or I don't know what it is, but it just, for me, coming from a position of so much abundance, it became very clear that I wanted just one girl. And then when somebody came along that was that amazing, I had the tools necessary through game to know exactly what to do to be able to get her.
You know, it's funny you should mention guys who are prominent in the field of learning how to get better with women coming to you and asking you these questions, because I've had the same thing happen. Matter of fact, I'm wondering if it's the same guys, because some of them are in the game also.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me, because these are guys that I know that whenever they meet somebody who's happy in a relationship, and it's not a slight to them, because that's how they learned game. They learned game by asking questions of people that had worked it out, and then they analyzed it and pieced it together. That's what they did. And they meet a guy who's, you know, who's new to the game or what have you, relatively compared to them, and he's figured something out that they haven't. They want to know how it works. They want to piece it together.
That's right. Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think, Adam, the bottom line is there's just so few guys in our position. I mean, certainly in the women's market, there's a lot of different books for women by women on how to rope a guy and whatever. But in the men's market, you know, there's so much focus on pickup, or there's so much focus on really lame mainstream dating advice where, you know, you would think masculinity and femininity don't even exist anymore, and they're telling guys just to soften up or whatever, that there's really nobody, I guess, save for you and I and maybe a couple others, I'm struggling to think of anybody, who's actually gone through this whole process of being successful with multiple women and deciding they were going to choose the greatest woman they've ever met actively and get into a monogamous long-term relationship and show guys how to do that.
Scott, exactly. I can name probably significantly more, let's say, pickup artists that have fathered children by women that they're not in a relationship with than I can married men in the community.
Yes, and they hide it.
Yeah, and that is such a shame. Like,
it is.
Like, that's not something to aspire to. Like, I would not want to ever leave a woman with a kid that I had fathered and then, you know, hey, sorry, I can't really admit to this because I'm an international pickup artist. I'll send you money. Let's keep it quiet. There are a lot of guys within the community that have fathered children that they, that, you know, they sort of like send the money across to the single mom that's looking after them, say, sorry, it can't really be known that I'm a pickup artist with a son, so let's keep it quiet and I'll just give you some cash. Whereas I can't think of more than 3 guys within the community that are married. And that's a shame. Like, that's really sad. It'd kind of be different if all these guys that were really good were also, you know, really clever about it and didn't have kids left, right, and center. But at the end of the day, there's a significant portion of these guys that are looked up to, and they have fathered children that they're then trying to hide from the responsibility of being the father publicly so that they can continue running around nightclubs picking up chicks at the age of 40, 45, whatever.
Well, yeah, I don't want to throw all these guys under the bus. The first thing I'm going to say is, you know, I think you're going to agree with me when I say, if you want that lifestyle and you want to be the guy who is getting a string of chicks the rest of your life and being Hugh Hefner, that's fine. You do not have to get married. As a matter of fact, what I teach you guys is how to have the life you want and be in control of it, whatever that life is with women. But yeah, the one thing, Adam, that they do not teach a lot of in the seduction community other than STDs is, you know, anytime you have sex with a chick, you might get her pregnant and then you've got a problem. So it isn't all fun and games and notching your bedpost. There are consequences. And, you know, when these guys are out there going about their craft and actually having sex with a lot of women, sometimes there's going to be an issue, another human life. And maybe, well, I don't know how you think about abortion or not, but, you know, forget what you've heard in the media. Most of these women want to have their babies when there's a life growing inside them. That's just the way most women are naturally wired. Even if they were raging pro-choice before they got pregnant, something happens. So, you know, this is something you've got to take into consideration. And yes, there are guys out there in the community who have had these things happen under circumstances that they didn't want them to happen in. They're not prepared for that long-term relationship because they didn't make that one great woman pregnant, but they're still stuck with the results. It is really awkward when you have to compromise your entire integrity as who you are and what you're doing vis-a-vis this double life you're living as a dad.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, like, and this is something where, you know, maybe I'm being a bit outspoken, but, you know, I've got a thing. I think that everyone should just come clean and be comfortable with who they are. I came out, like, my pickup name was, you know, AFC Adam. I made it clear I am who I am, and I'm okay with dealing with any consequences of anything that I drum up. And, you know, it's fine. If you want to go out there, if you want to have, you know, loads of different girls and what have you, then I'm all for that. Like I said, I've been there. I've done that. But if you're getting that, and then you get to a position where you do have kids, and then you're hiding the kids, or, you know, you're not sort of showing that side as a warning to other people, then at that point, that's where you're not just being dishonest to others, you're also being dishonest to yourself. And I think that people really should be comfortable with being who they are. If you are going to go out there and have a whole load of chicks and you don't want a relationship, come out there, say it, and all the mistakes as well, you know, put it in the open. I actually, on another podcast, I came out to the community and I told them I was going to propose to my wife. I made it clear that that was my intention long before asking. So I kind of like, I verbalized what I was going to do in advance. I could have had egg on my face. It could have been very easy for something to have gone wrong and for the entire community to know, hey, there was Adam, the guy that couldn't pick up his wife. But that's the risk you take. That's all part, I suppose, about doing this industry, about being in it. And actually, one of the things I love about the community, I've been so proud about, is the fact that now, more than ever, the guys in the community are looking at people as a whole, and they're making their own decisions. And like I said, me getting voted number one in the world, I didn't see that as a great thing for me, because let's be real, I haven't picked up a chick for myself for a very long time. I saw it more as the community itself expanding and growing on an intellectual level to an understanding of being the best pickup artist in the world isn't necessarily based on who can pick up the hottest chick or how many chicks you can pick up. It's a question of, you know, is what you're teaching correct? Does it work? Is it getting students results? And more importantly, do you stand by what you teach? And that's something that I'm really proud of. I do stand by what I teach. I found my woman. I stayed with her.
You know, it's clear to me too, Adam, that guys out there really can handle the truth regarding who we are as people at our core. You know, even if we do make mistakes, even our imperfections, there's something inherently untrustworthy about a guy who says, I have everything handled. I have all the answers. We don't trust that guy when we're buying a car, and I don't think we're trusting that guy when we're getting better with women either.
Yeah, completely. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm also very happy to see the evolution that appears to have taken place from just having this stream of lines or openers or whatever to going, hey, you know what? How can I not ever have to ask, what do I do next ever again? And the answer, of course, being run what some guys call natural game, but what I just call being the best version of who you are, the most confident masculine version of who you are, and regaining control over your dating life, not being a guy who's saying, okay, these women are going to be the ones who choose who they have sex with tonight, so I've got to be the one they choose. You're a chaser when you do that.
Oh, I couldn't agree with that more. That's so well put. When you're constantly trying to improve yourself to a point that you're only doing it so that the girls can choose you because you're amazing, you're missing a big part of the puzzle. And you know, understanding how women think is such a big part of it, because when you understand what they think, you realize that half the time what they think they want isn't necessarily the actual thing they're after.
Yep. Hey, Adam, let's shift gears a little bit and let's talk about married life itself.
Awesome.
Talk to me about what guys can expect if they have actually chosen the right woman from abundance. What is life like for you these days?
Do you know what? It's pretty cool. I was always worried about getting married. When I was younger, I was like, oh, I'm, you know, never going to get married, whatever, because I was worried about catching one vagina where you end up with just one vagina for the rest of your life. But marriage is awesome. I mean, start with the biggest thing. Everyone's like, you only get to have sex with one person. The sex that one person gets better and better every time. The longer that we're together, the more, you know, the more fun we're having in the bedroom, I suppose, is the right way of putting it. You know, we experiment, we have fun, we enjoy each other's company. And, you know, kind of dare each other into doing more and more things. I'm looking around my room right now, and I kid you not when I say I've currently got a stripper pole, a love swing, and a whole bunch of other stuff that was given to us as, like, moving in presents by friends of ours. And, like, there's no way that some random chick that I just meet on one night is going to be completely up for me, you know, to slap up a stripper pole and a love swing and a goodness knows what else we've got going on in the room and getting her to take part in it. But, you know, my wife does. one of my favorite movies is Death Proof. I absolutely love it, by Quentin Tarantino. And there's this awesome lap dance scene that's actually that takes place in Austin, Texas, in the Texas Chili Parlor, or it's a bar in the movie. I've received a lap dance from my wife in that bar, in the Chili Parlor. That's pretty awesome. Like, that's the kind of thing that a random chick that I just met wouldn't even know to do. And yet my wife knows that that's important, and, you know, she does that kind of stuff. So there's ups and downs. Yes, I don't get lots of different women, but at the end of the day, I've had lots of different women, and realistically, once you have lots of different women, you realize that they're pretty much all the same. So with my wife, I get somebody who knows who I am. We get a connection on a completely different level. And then there's the life itself. I look forward to, I wake up in the morning, she makes me breakfast, or I make her breakfast, whichever way we do it. We take it in turns. We've got a kitten together. So we get to share those kind of things. Again, if you live alone and you're just picking up random chicks, you might have a pet, but it's your pet. It's not something you share with somebody. Whereas I've got all the memories of things that have happened between me and my wife and the cat. And they just keep growing. They become in jokes between us. I've got a friend who, you know, I share my movies with. She plays video games with me. We sit playing Street Fighter 4 every evening on the Xbox 360. I've never felt so content, happy, excited, enthusiastic about life as I do right now. She's such an awesome person. I literally wouldn't feel complete if I didn't have her by my side. And it's just awesome. I get to spend every single day. She says it herself. She's like, every single day, my best friend has a slumber party with me. And that's really what it's like. It's just an awesome, very comfortable, warm experience. And we get it every single day. It's awesome.
Yeah, there's several things you brought up that I would love to go deeper on. First of all, you mentioned, you know, I've had sex with a lot of women, but I have sex with one woman. And it's not like it's boring. It's like it gets better. And I think a lot of guys are out there listening to this podcast saying, dude, you're kidding yourself. Having a different chick in your bed every night has got to be better than having the same chick night after night after night. Now, here's what I'm going to say to that.
Yeah.
Yes, having different women in your life and getting some sexual variety, as it were, is really nice. But having the same woman in your life is nice, too, for different reasons. And being a swinger and having an open relationship, and Adam, you told me you're monogamous, as are we, by the way.
Yeah.
Having an open relationship seems like the obvious answer to that dilemma for most guys, but that brings with it its own set of issues and its own set of potential problems. And there's guys that have gone in and out of that kind of lifestyle, too. So at the end of the day, there really is a decision you have to make of what kind of life you're going to live. And if you can make that lifestyle decision from a position of really having it be your own decision, that's a good thing. And to the answer to the guys out there who are saying, yeah, well, you're having the same woman in your bed every night, of course I agree with everything you're saying. But I would also tell those guys, look, I don't care who it is. I don't care what woman it is. If it's all about the sex, after you've had sex with her 5 or 6 times, you know your way around that woman's body. You've had sex with her. If it's all about variety, you're going to need a new woman after you've had sex with her just a few times. I actually had a guy come to me for coaching. And he says, you know, I just can't stay with a woman for more than a month and a half. I just get really sexually bored. And I said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to one of those porn sites. I don't care whether you look at porn or not. Just, this is science. Okay, this is an experiment. So go get to one of those porn sites that have all the little pictures of the same girl, and you know, you get to choose which one you want to look at, and then find 4 or 5 videos, you know, 5, 6 minutes each on one of those sites. It's like a YouTube for porn, right? And yeah. Watch all those videos of the same girl and tell me how long it takes you to want to go to a different girl. And he came back and he said it was about 10 minutes. After 10 minutes of watching the same girl, he was ready to watch another girl get naked and have sex for a while. Okay. Well, then a month and a half is a darn long time.
Yeah.
So what's the point? The point is, a lot of guys, you know, there's that Maslow's hierarchy out there. If you're not getting fed, you're going to be hungry, and all you can think about is filling your stomach. Above that on the ladder is, if you're not getting sexual satisfaction, all you can think of is getting sexually satisfied. And it hurts if you're not getting sexually satisfied, even physically. I know that. But once you are satisfied sexually, you're ready to go up the ladder again. And if you're with a woman who's going to ruin your life, you're going to be sorry. And this is what guys do. They marry a woman for sex, and then they go, man, the rest of the package is killing me. If you have this abundance, if you've made these choices the right way, then what you've got is, you've got this situation where you've got this partner. You've got someone who you actually are friends with. Not just be friends, because the term just be friends means there's something neutering that whole experience in her mind. But meanwhile, if you've got someone you're sexually attracted to and you can be best friends with that person, then you've got this stability, you've got this security, you've got this acceptance that we as guys are looking for our entire lives. We're looking for someone to approve of us. That's why so many guys have this problem with approval seeking from the very minute they meet a woman, before they built rapport, before anything, because we're impatient. We want it, and we want it now. And once you get it, and once you have it, and you don't have to worry about it anymore, then you can go on to the bigger and better, and I dare say more satisfying things up Maslow's pyramid. And you can do them together. I'll tell you, it's rare. It is absolutely rare, Adam, to find a woman who's going to be 100% okay with what you and I do for a living, unless it's their passion also. But we found those women, and I don't care who you are as a guy, what your passion is. You know, if you make porn movies for a living or something, that's probably going to be a bit more of a challenge, right? But for most guys who are leading relatively normal lives, what we're talking about here is truly the next level beyond just notching your bedposts. It's beyond seeing women as a means to fulfill your sexual biological need. And once you get to that level, there is likely to be a woman who comes along who really just checks all the boxes off way, way beyond the sex. And then the sex becomes part of that lifestyle together. And because you have that friendship, because you have that depth, it takes it to almost a spiritual level that's unheard of, literally, until you get to that point in your life.
Dude, I absolutely couldn't agree more. It's just, you know, people really just don't, you can't appreciate how abundance feels until you have it. And you can't appreciate how good marriage is until you've had the abundance and realized that something's still missing.
Another thing you talked about, Adam, is this whole idea of the shared history, being able to do things together, being on the same wavelength. And it's not like you don't ever have arguments, but if you've met someone out of abundance, like you're saying, you tend to be really honest with each other. There's nothing to hide. There's no fear of loss if you said something that was potentially offensive. You're just there for each other.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I genuinely love my wife. It's not that I don't have a fear of losing or not being able to find somebody else. You know, the fact is I don't want anybody else. Like, I genuinely love her, and, you know, just replacing her, it just wouldn't be able to happen because I couldn't find anybody else, you know, instantly the same as her. It's not that I couldn't find someone else. I'm sure I could. And so our relationship is handled not from a point of view where, oh, wow, you know, I wouldn't be able to find anyone else. That thought never even crosses my mind. I know I could find somebody else. It's simply I don't want to. So because of that, arguments with her are so much easier because it's like I could find somebody else. I'm arguing with her because I genuinely care about her opinion or I care about my opinion going across. And I don't have a fear of loss. I don't have a fear of upsetting her or being outspoken and speaking the truth because I know that she knows who I am. I know that, you know, we both know each other well enough that we're comfortable to talk honestly and openly with each other. And that makes a big difference. Whereas if you're scared of losing your partner because you don't think you can get anybody else, then you lose a lot of the strength that you need to maintain a discussion / argument in a relationship.
Ironically, that's also what kills attraction in the woman you most are trying to impress. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, I think a lot of the guys are wondering what the practical steps are here. It's confusing to a lot of guys who maybe are just starting out in this whole process of getting better with women. And they're saying, well, you know, you guys are talking about something that if I ever feel that way, it's going to be after I'm 30 or way down the road.
Yeah.
It's not something I'm up for right now. And believe me, I have a wish list to get through before I even get there. I want to go date a bunch of women. I want to know what the process is like, even if I do decide to get there someday.
Yep.
Would you retrace your steps in your process for the benefit of the guys out there who may want to know some objective ways they can go from maybe not being as successful with women right now as they want to be to building this life of abundance and finally getting to the position where they realize, A, they're ready to meet one great woman, and B, recognize her when she comes along?
To give you an idea on the steps that I took, so the first thing I did was I went out and I cold approached and got talking to a whole bunch of women. I did that just to learn what works, what conversations work, how do you start a conversation, how do you maintain a conversation, and then slowly that increased to how do you get makeouts, et cetera, et cetera. Then I realized that the main way that hot girls were obtained was through social circles. So I developed an entire system of social circle methods of how to add girls to social life. I would bring large groups of girls out to nightclubs with me. And it basically increased my social circle with women so that I was consistently meeting and hanging around beautiful girls. I got that up to a point where I was very comfortable talking to girls. And of course, at this point, my whole aim was to be like Hugh Hefner. I wanted to have as many girls as possible. And like I said, at my heyday, I was probably dating 14 girls at once. And, you know, and these are all the kind of girls you see in high-end nightclubs in the VIP area. So these are, you know, very, very hot girls, models, escorts, celebrities even, dancers, those kind of caliber of women. And yeah, I started getting depressed. Something was still missing. I could have sex with pretty much any girl I wanted. In fact, there's a case where I took out some friends of mine that worked for a competing company, and I asked them to choose the girl that they wanted me to pick up, and I picked her up right in front of them, something that none of them were able to do. And it was just because I'd got to that level where I could do that. And it was depressing, knowing that I could just have a girl whenever I wanted to. I could click my fingers. It became boring. There was no thrill. The hunt had vanished. And I realized I wanted something more. And that's when I realized I needed to do something about getting a real relationship. And so then I met my wife, and she was different to everyone else. She stood out from the crowd. And I realized what was missing was that I wasn't committing myself to any of these girls. I was having them, getting them to commit themselves to me, but I never did anything special for them. I never made them feel good about themselves. And so I decided that what would make a relationship work for me would be for me to change my approach and to go from a position of where I always kept myself safe because I was worried about getting let's just be friends to someone that I would be a bit romantic. I would do some of the stuff that you shouldn't do. I took her to dinner. I bought her flowers. I did the kind of stuff that you shouldn't normally do. But I could get away with it because I had the reputation and the obvious appearance of somebody who really could get any girl he wanted. So suddenly my romantic gestures weren't lost on her. They weren't a hopeless guy hoping to get into the girl by buying her flowers. It was a guy that genuinely could have any girl he wanted, and he's buying flowers for a girl to prove to her that she's different. And to this day, even now while we're married, whenever I go shopping, I buy her a bunch of flowers for the table to just because I love her, just so she feels special. And that's what it was for me to make the difference, the jump from having so many girls to one. I realized that what I had to do was do something myself. And so I invest in my wife. And I do it because I love her.
See, that is the right reason to buy a woman flowers. Not to impress her, but just because you know flowers are beautiful, she's beautiful, they remind you of her, and therefore you want to brighten her day. And you want to enjoy watching that feminine glow come over her. That's the right reason. And yeah. I'm listening to you talk about this incredibly fascinating concept of because you can have anything you want, you really can drill down and focus on exactly how simple you'd like your life to be rather than complicated and excessive. I'm reminded of a time I saw this incredible life-changing interview, and I just happened upon it by accident while flipping the channels. I think it was on PBS. There weren't any commercials in it. And Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, who at the time were the two richest guys in the world, were addressing a business class, a room full of prospective MBAs. And the students were asking Warren Buffett and Bill Gates questions about, oh, how do you make all this money and money, 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 this and money, money, that. And both of those guys were sitting there. Bill Gates, you know, trademark geekwear, right? He had his blue collared shirt and slacks on.
Yeah.
And Warren Buffett had a brown suit on. And even Ross Perot, when he was running for president, another billionaire, just wore the same tie 2 out of 3 presidential debates and was famous for driving an Oldsmobile and, you know, Sam Walton of Walmart fame driving a 78 pickup truck. Why are these guys so nondescript? Why are these guys just living a normal life? Because they can. Warren Buffett and Bill Gates were like, you know, a lot of people think we probably go to Morton Steakhouse or whatever every night. You know, this is the first time we've ever actually met each other face to face, and we grabbed a burger over at Wendy's before we came here and we paid $6 and they laughed. It was nice to have the $6 to pay for lunch. And I think, you know, one of us picked up the tab for the other guy. But ultimately, the point is, I don't have to worry about money anymore. And therefore, what financial freedom really means isn't that I have 10 Lamborghinis lined up in my driveway if I don't even like Lamborghinis, or that I have a 40,000 square foot house only so that I can realize when I'm at one end of the house, I need to go all the way to the other end of the house to get what I want. No. I can do whatever I want, and if what I want is very simple, then I have nothing to prove to anybody else by doing and getting what I want. It's true freedom, and that's exactly what I was thinking of in terms of success with women. You kind of reach this Warren Buffett stage, if you will. I don't want to say Bill Gates. I just don't want to make that analogy. I can't see it. But the Warren Buffett stage of being successful with women. Mm-hmm. And you say, you know what? I don't have to go have 1,000 models or actresses because I can. What I want is what I want. And because I have this freedom, because I've reached the pinnacle of success with women, I've reached my potential in that regard, which I mean, so few guys do, Adam, and which you and I both so much want other guys to be able to do. The important thing is that is what set you free. That's what freed you to have this incredible relationship with your wife. And, you know, I have an incredible relationship with my wife. And I'm sure you get the same question I get all the time. Well, if you've dated so many women and had so much variety, how can you possibly have this great relationship with this woman? How can she trust you? It's because of the variety that I knew what I wanted. And that is what gives implicit trust between a man and a woman in a relationship. Nobody was desperate here. Everybody acted on their own accord. Everybody was free to do what they wanted. And when you have that relationship and you know you're there by choice, and frankly, I want you to comment on this too, Adam. When you know that if the other person left you, you would be all right anyway. You don't have this need. There isn't this leeching need on this other person. That's what makes really for a very, very easygoing, genuinely friendly, deep relationship between a man and a woman.
Completely. There is literally no fear between either of us that the other one wouldn't be able to get pretty much anyone they wanted to date. And so because of that, we look at each other as equals. You know, we're not looking thinking, oh, I could do so much better. We're with each other because we love each other. And yeah, we could probably find somebody else, but why would we want to? We've got so many compatibility, so much commonality between us. And, you know, Amanda says it to me all the time. She's like, you're the male version of me. And, you know, I think the same about her. She's a female me. We get on so well because we're so alike. We have so much compatibility between us that we just wouldn't want to go anywhere else. And because we don't have the fear of losing each other and being left alone, then we enter into every discussion as equals, which is what makes, you know, a very balanced relationship.
Tremendous, tremendous. Man, what a great discussion. You know, we have a voicemail that we want to get to. And before we get to it, I just want to say to all you guys out there, if you came into this particular podcast with a closed mind towards marriage, saying this is not anything I ever want to do, then I hope you'll at least give yourself that freedom to keep your mind open and put the ducks in order now so that if you ever want to change your mind about that, you can. And this comes back down to not making the mistakes of knocking women up and getting STDs because you were irresponsible that you would hand down to the woman you really do love someday. Make good, solid decisions today, guys, getting ready for whatever your mindset's going to be tomorrow. And actually, we talked about this exact thing when David Shade was co-hosting this show. And I think there's a guy who's got a few years on me even. And I think that is right on. Have an open mind towards all this stuff. And guys, if you're already thinking that you wanted to find a great woman someday, I hope this just jazzes you even more towards finding her. I hope this motivates you. And that really is the whole purpose of this podcast. And Adam, I just really appreciate your input on that.
Awesome.
So let's go ahead and get to this great voicemail from Andre in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Here we go.
Hello, Scott. I just want to thank you for all the wonderful work you do on your podcast, and I would like to ask a question for the Chick Whisperer or X, Y, on the Fly. I have a dilemma here where I met a young woman online, and we went on a few dates. Make a long story short, I felt there was a connection, but after the second date, she told me herself that she just wanted to be friends and that she would let me know if there's anything different she might feel, and she was still processing. And I guess I must tell you, after the second date, I gave her a kiss. Well, anyway, she added me on a social networking site and as a friend, and then she started messaging me. And, well, we made arrangements to go out a few times just to, just to hang out. And she initiated it first. She said we should hang out sometime, that sort of thing. Well, my question is, how do I know whether or not she's still processing, whether or not we're just friends, or whether or not she was going to put me in a friend zone, or should I even take the risk to ask her if we should consider being more than friends? Thank you so much, Scott. Take care. Goodbye.
Well, I'll tell you what, Adam. Here's a guy who is wondering whether he's in the friend zone or not, and I'm not sure that the woman just wanted to have a little time before being dragged into a relationship, which I think is fair. Man, sometimes we're our own worst enemy, aren't we?
Yeah, I think with this one situation, I think it's typically a case, I always say this to my students, with any one situation, no matter how much information you give me, you will not be able to give me enough for me to make a fully accurate decision on what's going on. I don't know things like, for example, in this message, we don't know what her previous dating life was like. We don't know if she's just come out of an abusive relationship with somebody else, or there are so many other minor factors that could be affecting this that makes it very hard to give solid feedback on any one thing. I think that the most important thing is for somebody to realize that you don't ever want to read too much into a situation. The amount of times that a girl's told me, let's just be friends, or I don't want to sleep with you, and has then turned around and ended up having sex with me that very night, you know, I could never count. There's been so many times that's happened. I think typically you never want to take anything anyone says at face value, and in reality you always want to play it through and see how it goes. However, as general good advice, you also don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. If you are dealing with a girl who said, let's just be friends, then you better make sure she's not the only girl in your life, because there is a good chance that you have been stuck in the friend zone. And if that is where you have been stuck, then you want to make sure you've got other options going on so that, you know, you are making a move on with your life. And the irony of that is that if you do follow that tactic and you do make sure you have other options in your life, then that is actually the prime way of getting out of the friend zone if you are in it.
Outstanding. Well put. You know, in this situation to me, Andre, it sounds like she's looking to get to know you better, but may not be on the same schedule you're on. What's ironic to me is we're used to thinking so often about women trying to rope guys into relationships real quickly and having the guy say, hey, you know, let's put on the brakes here. And the woman going, oh, he just doesn't like me. He just wants to use me, and her bailing. And the guy was like, well, no, I really liked you. I just need more time to decide whether you're going to be my girlfriend or not than 2 dates. Andre, in this situation, I think there's a little bit of role reversal going on. I think you're the guy trying to kind of rush things a little bit with her. Lay back, chill out a little bit, just enjoy hanging out with her, and let her come to you emotionally on her own terms. I'm not saying let her lead. I'm saying lead in that manner. I guess to elaborate a little bit more on that, go ahead and spend some time with her. Make her laugh. Do the things that your naturally masculine self, your naturally confident self will do to make her feel like she's a woman in your presence. And you're going to see that reticence. You're going to see that discomfort she has melt away as you make her more comfortable in your presence. And that's, you know, what the big four is all about. Mm-hmm. Andre, I'm pretty sure this is a rather simple answer. We've had some complicated, long, drawn-out, knockdown, drag-outs on this show about voicemails before. But in this case, man, I would just say, you know, Adam, he should just go with the flow.
Definitely. You know, make sure you've got other options on the go. If it works out with this one, great. If it doesn't, who cares? You know, you'll have other choices, you'll have other options. And that's the idea of abundance. The whole idea of abundance is having those other options. In fact, it's quite, opportune that this is the voicemail that came up after this talk, because, you know, this is the essence of one-itis. If he just keeps chasing that one girl without knowing what's going to happen, that's one-itis.
Yeah, no doubt. Talk to some other women on Facebook, Andre, and go out and meet some other women. Just start conversations and see where they go. You don't have to be tied to one woman for now, especially if she's not tied to you yet.
There you go.
So excellent voicemail, though. And Andre, I think that's a great example of the kind of voicemail that's going to be something that a lot of guys can relate to. And as always, for sending us such a great voicemail, we've got something cool for you. And Adam, I'm going to hand it off to you because you got it this week.
Yeah, completely. Well, we've actually set up instant attraction training where people can download kind of like the entire program you do on a boot camp. It's kind of like an entire boot camp training course in a box. All of our seminars and the instruction material, including a book that breaks down a number of different exercises and examples for you to use. And you can literally follow this thing through the course of a week or a month or a weekend, as we typically teach them through, and literally go from zero to hero and game in a very short period of time with all the tools that you need necessary inside.
Wow, you're forking over the whole program, Adam?
He can literally have the entire program. We'll send it to him straight away.
Man, that's pretty sweet. Guys, you know, if you want to get your hands on instant attraction training, I've set up a special URL for you. I would definitely check it out. From listening to what Adam has been saying to you all day, I think you can tell pretty quickly this is one of those guys who really does know what he's talking about. He really does have some serious game. He's taken it all the way to the end point, which is something I always respect. He's found the greatest woman he's ever met, and he's spending that life with her. And guys, if you want to check that out, I couldn't recommend it more. You want to go to thechickwhisperer.com, as always, /Adam, A-D-A-M. Couldn't be any easier. www.thechickwhisperer.com /Adam. So guys, if you want to score your own copy of something cool like Instant Attraction Training, what you can do is you can leave your own voicemail to potentially be used on this show by our next co-host. To do that, dial up +1 if you're outside the United States, 210-362-4400. Once again, that's +1 if you're outside the United States, 210-362-4400. When you leave your voicemail, no one's going to answer the phone. It's a dedicated voicemail line. Leave us your question. Make it concise. Make it relevant, like I said, to a lot of guys on this show potentially. Leave us your name, where you're from, and importantly, leave us an email address so we can send you your prize. Well, Adam, it's been an incredible, incredible show. I thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem at all. Thank you so much.
And guys, I just want to remind you, if you're looking for someone to coach you one-on-one through this whole process, go ahead and drop me a message at scott@deservewhatyouwant.com. That's S-C-O-T, one T and Scott, @deservewhatyouwant.com. I have a couple of 10-plus programs available right now. You can get one-on-one direction on how to get from where you are right now to where you want to be. And like I said, if you want to be a guy who's got a lot of women in his life right now, we can take care of that for you. If you're a guy who's doing pretty well with women right now, but you want to go ahead and meet the greatest woman you've ever met, that's where we specialize. Online dating too. If you want to become incredibly successful at online dating, we can take care of that for you too. So go ahead and drop me a message, scott@deservewhatyouwant.com, and I'll be happy to hear from you. Also, just a quick reminder, if you haven't checked out Chick Whispering, it is the definitive toolkit for understanding and relating to women. Guys, forget the hype. You don't have to go through your entire life not understanding women, thinking they're enigmatic and that you're always going to just completely lack power in relating to them. You can actually figure out women a lot more than you think you can. To check that out, go to www.chickwhispering.com. Check out the video I have for you. No long letter to read, just the facts in the video. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. It's a great value at $47. Until we talk to you next time, I've got a great co-host lined up for you for episode number 35. This is Scott McKay from XY Communications. Until I talk to you again soon, gentlemen, be good out there.
The Chick Whisperer Podcast is copyright 2009 by XY Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to sign up for the XY Communications newsletter at www.thechickwhisperer.com. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Chick Whisperer Podcast.